This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My name is Nick Safransky, and I'm running the Chicago Marathon for the second time. This year, I'm running to support World Vision, which is a global charity dedicated to improving the lives of children and families in need. World Vision partners with local communities. They provide access to clean water, education, healthcare, and economic opportunities. They transform the lives and break the cycle of poverty for those in need.
My name is Tim Buckley, and I am running the 2024 Chicago Marathon for the Great Lakes Adaptive Sports Association. This is my fourth year running the marathon. All for the exact same charity. It's an awesome organization. It's a pretty simple goal, right? It's trying to raise funds for those who are in need of, those with disabilities who are just trying to play sports. Whether you were born with a disability or you are an injured military veteran or an accident came later in life, all we're trying to do is help you get out there and stay active. We have, wheelchair basketball, there's track and field, there's sled hockey. There's so many cool programs for so many people. I think LASA supports about 2,000 different athletes now. Playing sports is something I took for granted as a kid. I thought everyone had access to it, and that's just not the case. So something that was such a huge part of my life, where I made friends, where I learned how to win, where I learned how to lose, where I made amazing memories, and I still play sports today. I want to make sure everyone has access to those same opportunities and just to have fun out there. So yeah, super excited to run on Sunday, and good luck to everybody running.
Good morning and welcome to Race Day Chicago. The 46th running of the Chicago Marathon comes your way this morning, and at the top of the hour, we're going to send it out to Josh Liss and the crew, who will have all your coverage right here on 670 The Score from 7 to 11 a.m. But score values this morning will be heavily related to the Chicago Marathon, as it brings in so much revenue for local nonprofit organizations. We'll talk a little bit about that with Josh. And also coming up on the program, a couple of great initiatives going on at Loretto Hospital. We now welcome Josh Liss, the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Marathon, right here on 670 The Score, also the sports director, our friends down there at WBBM down the hall. Josh, good morning. How are you on
doing
this race
fine.
Morning?
Yeah, doing great. Good to hang with you. Great. It's always great to talk with my friends at The Score, especially
Absolutely.
You, Alex, and this, which is like a holiday,
yes.
An annual holiday here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been doing this for a long time. Was it 18 years? Is this your...
Well, I just happen to have the numbers because I am that prepared. Okay, so 2024 is my, and thank you for indulging me on this. I hope at least a few people are interested. My 27th Chicago Marathon that I've covered. All right, that leaves two sort of X'd out years between going back to 1995. I was off in the 2003 race, and I didn't work that day. And then in 2013, I actually ran. That was about 11 years ago. Every other one, let's see, this is my 21st official marathon broadcast, my 20th as lead host, and this is year 18 on 670 The Score.
Year 18 on 670 The Score. So you're getting ready for the Chicago Marathon. There are 50,000 some odd runners, 120,000 you were telling me applied. How do you go about painting a picture and telling a story when there are literally tens of thousands of stories out there, each runner having a different and unique one?
Oh, absolutely. Great question, because you've got the elites up front that are going to start at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday, the 13th of October, after a moment of silence for the late defending champion and world record holder, Kelvin Kiptum, who we'll talk about a little bit more, I'm sure. But they're going to start at 7:30, and about a half hour later, they're going to start the next corral of a few 10,000 runners. And then a half hour after that, they're going to start start the next wave. Not everybody, because there's so many thousands of runners at the start, can even start at the same time. They have to hold these corrals back and run them in waves of like 15, 30 minutes at a time. They are the average runners, most of them, outside of the few dozen elites that are running for prize money, $75,000 to $100,000 to a winner this year. Even the chair runners are making big money nowadays, the wheelchair runners. But the average runner, you know, they paid to get into the race. They're not making money off of it. Maybe they're doing it for personal satisfaction. We've talked to a lot of runners over the years who have goals. Maybe they're turning 30 or 40 or 50, or like Antioch's Randy Burt, who's 76, one of three runners to have completed all 45 Bank of America Chicago marathons. A race that once upon a time wouldn't even be considered sponsored by a bank. It was once sponsored by a beer company, this race. It was the old style of Chicago Marathon at one point. But Randy Burt running in all 46 this year. Him and two others planning on running in 50 if they get that far. I hope they do. They're all in their mid-70s. They have personal stories and personal goals. And then there are the runners running for charitable causes that have been affected by horrible things like cancer and other illnesses and other tragedies in their life. What can I do? They think themselves, how can I raise money to battle things that have affected me negatively or even affected other people I don't know? Anybody is available to fundraise. In fact, when you find out that you're one of 120,000 or so that applied to the marathon and did not get in, oftentimes, and keep this in mind, you can get into the Chicago Marathon or others through a charity fundraising spot on one of the many teams that are out there. I should mention that charity teams like Team World Vision, they're going to have 1,900 runners in this race. There are other teams that are going to feature hundreds of runners, each raising thousands of dollars for charity. The charitable impact of this race is well over $20 million total per year over the last decade or so.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. Every single year, the amount of money, it seems like it goes up and up for local and national nonprofit organizations. That just seems like something that few other sporting events, few other things can bring to the table quite like the Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be nearly 2 million spectators along this course that stretches from downtown Chicago, sort of off the lakefront, all the way north to the farthest most reaches of the course, well past the famous Wrigley Field and other landmarks, down back into the city, west, as far west as like Damon, other down south around the ballpark in Chinatown, and back up what we call Mount Roosevelt, the last little bit of elevation back towards downtown. There's going to be so many people out there cheering on friends and family members. And the business impact is something to sort of marvel at as well. A $546 million economic impact just last year. How do you even think about that or conceptualize? Okay, what do you mean economic impact, $546 million? Well, you've got 15,000 or so runners coming from out of town, out of the country. They're bringing families and friends with them. They need to eat at restaurants. They're going shopping. They're buying up hotel rooms. Since 2017, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, it says, has a total economic impact on the city of Chicago of $2.3 billion.
Absolutely astounding. As Josh List, the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Marathon, you will hear him right here on Sunday, broadcasting from 7 to 11 a.m., correct?
7 to 11 a.m., race day on 670 Score, and streaming on that Odyssey app. You know, we're a proud Odyssey radio station.
Yeah, yes, we are. You mentioned last year, Kelvin Kiptum. I remember the race director, Kerry Pinkowski, was on Cubs radio maybe a month before last year's race and said, "Look out for this guy. He could break a world record." Kerry was absolutely right. He breaks a world record and then 4 months later passes away in a tragic car accident. How much do you think that Kelvin's memory is going to be kind of with us on Sunday for the marathon?
Well, it'll very much cast a shadow over the entire
day.
It is a day of celebration, and we will celebrate the race. Someone like Kelvin would have wanted it that way. Rest in peace, you know, to him at age 24,
right.
Dying in February, along with his coach, an agent, in a one-car accident. It was ruled an accident by Kenyan officials. When I mentioned Kenya, he was a Kenyan. When you think of the great marathoning countries, Ethiopia and Kenya. So there will be a great number of elite Kenyan runners, males and females and chair racers in this race, mixed gender competition as well, of course. So there are all sorts of people included in the Chicago Marathon who will have Kelvin Kiptum on their mind as elite runners. Considering Kenya, he's one of their country mates.
Yep.
And last year's time, a 2 hours, 35 seconds, smashed the world record by 36 seconds. He was 23. He had since turned 24. Just out in a one-car accident. There are no paved roads. It's a much more rural setting you can imagine in these Kenyan countrysides where it may be great for training at high elevations, but unfortunately dangerous for driving, where even something like going off a small road into a ditch can cost you his life. There will be a moment of silence around 7:20, 7:30 before the start of this year's Bank of America Chicago Marathon. And any runner who wants to honor the late Kelvin Kiptum, the world record holder, since died last year, 4 months after winning Chicago, at the Bank of America's, at the Abbott Health and Fitness Expo, which is at McCormick Place, runners have had the option of picking up free stickers that they can attach to their race day bibs, you know, the little piece of paper with their
right.
number on
yep.
it. And that will allow them to honor Kelvin Kiptum on their own race day. A lot of these runners were in last year's race where we had a record of nearly 50,000 finish. Think about that. You were in a race where the world record was set. Now you're back this year. You're going to want to put that sticker on. You're going to want to remember that you were part of history last year. And there will be that moment of silence. The elite Kenyans certainly have Kelvin on their mind. They're dedicating a lot of them this year's race to his memory. And a lot of the average runners are going to have Kelvin on their mind because they shared last year's course with him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're talking about elite runners like Kelvin, the late Kelvin Kiptum was last year breaking the world record, who are some of the folks to watch out for this year?
Yeah, and the elite, there's going to be winners in both. There are going to be new winners in the men's and women's races
right.
because Kelvin is gone, and there are elite Ethiopians and Kenyans on top of them. The list of Americans on the men's side, it doesn't look like they're going to produce a potential winner this year. Stay tuned on that one. There's a huge depth of Americans in the men's and women's field. It's going to be a race within the race, but there will be new champions on the men's side, as we mentioned, and on the women's side, where Safwan Hassan, last year's course record-setting winner on the women's side, Safwan went to the Paris Olympics and won the gold medal, so she's resting and she's not back. So we'll crown new women's and men's winners, while the defending chair winners are back, both from Switzerland, Catherine De Bruyne, who set a course record last year, and the silver bullet, Marcel Hoog, who won last year in the men's wheelchair race. So two new winners, and then the defending chair champions will be back.
So you mentioned that it's an Olympic year. How much of a wrench does that kind of throw into things a little bit with the elite runners?
Yeah, so what it does is for a runner like Safwan Hassan, who won't be back in Chicago to defend her title, who did well in Paris, that's a good representation of how the Chicago Marathon can help you going into an Olympic year,
right.
winning in Chicago in 23, the gold in 24. But unfortunately, the timing doesn't make sense to return. As far as others who didn't make it past their marathon trials, didn't qualify for their Olympic teams, a lot of Americans included have set personal records at Speedy Fast Chicago. And because they're sort of extra motivated by not making their Olympic team or perhaps a disappointing Olympic finish, they're back in Chicago with more to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh List, play-by-play voice of the Chicago Marathon right here on 670 The Score. You'll hear him in just about an hour, a little less than an hour right here on The Score with Chicago Marathon coverage. So you mentioned you've run this event before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so someone's waking up. They're on the way to the race. This is their first time. They've trained. What advice do you have for them going into their very first race?
Okay, I hope you're following your plan. This is you, first-time runner. I hope you're following your plan. I hope it's all laid out and you're not doing too much thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be overthinking it this morning or doing any extra exercising. All that nervous energy will build up. You need to remain calm and just follow your plan. It will be a long while until you strip that sweatshirt off and finally actually start running. You're going to be corralled in that gate for a while. Have patience. Remember your plan. Don't start fast. In fact, go out of your way to start slow. You will not be winning this race today. You want to win your race. You want to do the best you can, whether it's beating last year or first-time runner, setting whatever time it is. It doesn't matter. You will, how well you think you're doing, you will hit a wall, whether it's at mile 15 or 20 with only a few to go, or mile 22. You will hit a wall where it'll feel like your body is disconnecting. It's normal. Your brain is playing tricks on you. Continue to follow your plan. Continue to follow your training. If you never drank Gatorade or sports drinks in your training, don't start grabbing it during the marathon. It will upset your stomach. There is also water available. Stick to what you know. Don't go outside of your comfort zone. It will be loud. There are bands. There are fans all over the course. We mentioned over nearly 2 million spectators. Try to tune it out. If you're used to training in quiet, try to tune it out. Put on those earphones. If you're not used to running in earphones, don't put them on. Stick to your plan. Focus the entire way. You can do it.
Outstanding advice here from Josh Liss, who has run the Chicago Marathon and will be announcing the marathon here on 670 The Score in less than an hour. So we've talked about the runners, the patrons, over 2 million of them. You said it's going to be loud. Any advice for patrons as far as cheering the runners on and catching the race at different beautiful spots in this beautiful city?
Absolutely. The Bank of America Chicago Marathon's official app is amazing. You can even stream us through there. You can catch the weather forecast. You can find out where more than two dozen cheer zones are. Mm-hmm. So unless you got that super cool buddy with the condo that's hanging over, you know, the course, and you can get out on the balcony with a real party and see the whole thing come by, go to one of the official cheer zones. There'll be bands there. There'll be entertainment, and you'll probably enjoy it. So unless you know exactly where you're going on this course, it can be pretty tricky. So plot it out on the map, find one of the official cheer zones, and go out there and cheer on the average everyday runners. As someone myself who's competed in long distance runs like this Chicago Marathon, any little bit helps. Whether it's a little kid on the sideline ringing a cowbell or a few thousand screaming at you to don't stop, don't stop, you as the average runner will be motivated by them. And I hope you, spectators, give it that extra bit to cheer these runners on today because they've worked hard.
Josh, when you say, if you could put together a weather forecast perfect for race day, what would it be?
Might be today, although the winds are going to be an X factor. I think the temperatures, you know, in that 40-degree range, maybe tickling in the low 50s as a high is probably best, but the wind is going to make a difference. We won't know yet with the swirling ability of that wind through the skyscrapers and the canyons of downtown, and then some of those open stretches as you go north, west, and south of the course outside of the skyscrapers. Maybe it'll open up and gust more. It may be a situation where you start with the wind in your face and you finish in the wind of your face because you are coming in some similar directions. The wind is going to be an X factor today. Interesting to note that we've had very hot record, near record 80-something temperatures in the days leading into the race.
Yep.
Thank goodness we didn't have that on race day. So, yeah, about as ideal as you can get. Cool, crisp, 40-something, low precipitation, low wind. You want it to creep up into the 50s and keep a little bit of cloud cover overhead. I think that'll be the sweet spot for this year's crowd.
Josh Liss, play-by-play voice of the Chicago Marathon. We'll hear from you in about 45 minutes.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Can't wait. Thanks,
come
Josh.
On. We're fired up.
Always great to hear from Josh. Thank you so much to him for joining me this morning. We have a couple of people this morning to talk to from Loretto Hospital. We have Amy Henwood Lee, the lead mammography technician for Loretto, joining me. She'll join me in just a second, actually. And then after her, Paula Yates, the chief strategy officer and executive director of Loretto Hospital Foundation, will stop by. But let's start with Amy. And Loretto Hospital has recently received a grant from the National Breast Cancer Foundation to support free mammography services for Southside patients. Amy, why don't you tell us about that?
Here at Loretto Hospital, we are offering a free mammogram program that's been provided to us through a grant within the Austin neighborhood and surrounding communities, being Cicero, Berwyn, for underinsured and uninsured patients. If anybody needs to check to make sure that they qualify for that grant for the free screening mammograms, they can call us at 773-854-5220.
And Amy, you mentioned that this program is for the under and uninsured, because I know there are a lot of people are going to listen out there and wonder, well, I'm not qualified for this. I don't have insurance. But you are stressing, doesn't matter. This is what this grant is for.
Correct. Again, uninsured. So anybody that does not have insurance, or people that are uninsured, meaning that they cannot meet their copay. And when they do call, we can see if they do qualify for that.
Amy Henwood joining me this morning on Score Values. And Amy, can you, as the lead mammography technician at Loretto Hospital, tell us how important routine screenings are?
So getting your annual routine screening is of super importance. One of eight women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in a lifetime. I feel like a lot of times there's not availability to patients to get these annual screenings because of lack of access and lack of care because they do not have insurance. So that's why we're super excited to offer this grant that's been from NBCF, which is the National Breast Cancer Foundation, that's allotted us this money.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how much pride does it bring you guys at Loretto Hospital to be able to bring things like routine breast cancer screenings to those who may not otherwise have access to it?
We're super proud, and we are super thankful to the NBCF for giving us this grant and being able to spread this information to people that might not otherwise have the access.
Amy, if you had any other advice for people who are up for routine screenings, what would it be?
I would tell them that every woman at the age of 40 should start getting their annual breast exams done. With conjunction of doing self-breast exams every month to make sure that you are not feeling any lumps, any pain. But oftentimes, it doesn't mean if you don't feel a lump or pain that there's nothing going on. So it's very, very important that you are doing your self-breast exams in conjunction with imaging.
Amy, what is the phone number that people can inquire about this grant, and what can they expect when they call?
So anybody can call us at 773-854-5220. When they call, anyone that answers will be able to set them up with an appointment on that same day or the next day. And we do have convenience of having the doctor's order when they arrive at their appointment. And we also can offer a free transportation if needed.
Amy, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you again to Amy for joining me this morning, but we're going to stay on the topic of Loretto Hospital as a one-of-a-kind opportunity. In fact, the first ever Loretto Hospital Farmers Market, you heard that right, Farmers Market coming your way on Wednesday, and here to tell me a little bit more about it is Paul Yates, the Chief Strategy Officer and Executive Director at Loretto Hospital Foundation. And Paula, why don't you just cut right to the chase? Tell us a little bit about this event, the Farmers Market that's coming up, how it came about, and some of the fine details about the event.
Well, the Farmers Market at Loretto Hospital will be our first Farmers Market. The Farmers Market is done in conjunction with the Loretto Hospital Foundation. And it came about because we work to work with the community to figure out how to combat some of the disparities that currently exist in the community, particularly those that prohibit longevity, prohibit wellness, and are a barrier to healthcare. And one of those things is food insecurity. a year ago, actually on October 16th, 2023, we opened our first food pantry. Or so we thought we were opening a food pantry. And we did what most hospitals do that have a food pantry. We put a lot of food on a shelf, particularly foods that needed to be cooked and prepared. And what we realized over the course of 3 or 4 days is that the audience that was coming into the hospital on a daily basis were individuals who needed food as a resource and transaction that was an immediate need, not food that could be cooked someplace else, especially when you live in a community like Austin, where resources are very deficient and the community in and of itself and residents are underserved and overlooked. And so we quickly pivoted, realizing that if you are couch surfing, if you are unhoused or housing insecure, there's nothing you could do with a can of soup or dried beans or dried spaghetti. And so we shifted our food pantry, which is what we call the community cupboard, to single-serve bags of food that are available to eat on the spot. And so we also realized that the community of Austin technically has one grocery store. All of the other grocery stores throughout the community are all positioned basically on one street, and they're predominantly bodegas, if you will, that don't sell fresh fruits and vegetables. So on October 16th, in honor of World Food Day, and also the one-year anniversary of our food pantry, we are hosting a free farmers market where we will be delivering, allowing the community to come to our parking lot and get fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. We will have jars of honey, bags of lettuce, and quite a few different accoutrements to really take care of those in need, particularly the seniors in the community, those who are living in assisted living and senior communities, the grandparents who are taking care of children, single mothers, or school teachers who are in the area, just really inviting as many folks that we can accommodate that day to come and get free fresh fruits and vegetables at our first free farmers market.
Paula Yates joining me this morning on Score Values. And Paula, Loretto Hospital deals with so many different areas of healthcare. Why is it so important to bring food quality and food insecurity in communities like the ones you serve into focus?
Yes. That's a great question. Again, we talk about the barriers to healthcare. And there are so many barriers to healthcare. Environment can often be a barrier to healthcare. Which is the community that you live in and some of the things that are absent from that community. Housing deficiency is a barrier to health care.
Right.
Economics are a barrier to health care. The ability to pay for some of the health care that you may need. A lack of employment is a barrier to health care. But of course, food and the absence of food and the low quality of food, the low quantity of food, is absolutely a barrier to healthcare. And so it's incredibly important to meet individual needs because not everybody's need is going to be the same. But we know that all humans rely on food for nourishment. We all need food for nourishment. We all need different types of food to accommodate our, you know, what nourishes us. But food really is medicine, and health is wealth. How can we really take the work that we do every day and go a step further to serve the needs of our community just a little bit more, just to help meet that need? And so in addition to our food pantry and our community cupboard, we're preparing to open a free grocery store so that we can go, again, just a few steps further for folks who actually do have a home, do have a stove, do have a place to prepare food, but maybe just don't have enough to make all the ends meet to ensure that everyone in the house does not suffer from any form of hunger. And so we are also just really excited about opening our first free grocery store. Again, really tapping into the different types of consumers and patients that we see in the community on a daily basis.
Outstanding stuff. Paulie Yates, the Chief Strategy Officer, Executive Director at Loretto Hospital Foundation. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and we'll talk to you down the line. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you again for joining me on Score Values this morning, and have a great race day, Chicago, and keep it right here. Tune to the Score for all your coverage of Chicago Marathon 2024, and it starts in just a little bit less than half an hour. Josh Liss and the crew will be taking over the airwaves at 7 o'clock. On Score Values, if there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That's scorevalues670@gmail.com. I'm Alex Kuhn. Thanks for listening. This week's edition of Score Values on 670 The Score.